Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
We're going to read from the book of the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, and let's look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we thank you for the Word of God and for the privilege we have to have a copy of your Word in our hands this morning. And I pray that as a people that we would be hearers of your Word, then we would be doers of your Word today. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, and we pray if there's one here that doesn't know for sure that heaven's their home, that before they leave this place, they would make that decision to accept Christ as their personal Savior. We certainly need you this morning to work in our hearts, and we ask this now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. There's a verse in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that says, "More blessed to give than to receive." But I need to ask a question. How many of you still enjoy receiving gifts? How many are still there? You can't wait till maybe your birthday or maybe your anniversary or Christmas time, where maybe a loved one will come by and say, "Hey, I got a gift for you." And I know you feel a little bit embarrassed, and that's okay. And deep inside you wonder, I wonder what it is. And I guess that's that still little boy in me, or maybe that little girl in you, that you just enjoy receiving gifts. I don't know about you, but when you think about receiving a gift, what was the greatest gift that you ever received? Now think about that. What was the greatest gift you ever received? Now don't be real spiritual on me, okay? But outside of something that's spiritual, I remember for me, it's no doubt if someone were to ask me what was the greatest gift you ever received, I remember it was a Swin bicycle. Now it wasn't the ordinary Swin bicycle. I mean, this was a cool Swin bicycle. I mean, it was a green metallic. In other words, it had sparkles in there. But not only that, it had one of those nice banana seats, okay? And it had some sparkles in the seat, and then it had a sissy bar. Now, not because I was a sissy, okay? But back then, a sissy bar was something that was cool. And I tell you what, I was a cool dude when I was riding that Swin bicycle. Man, when my parents presented that gift to me, I said, "Man, what a gift!" And you want to know something? I'm sure each and every one of us, we have received gifts before that we were just overwhelmed with. Like, wow, what an expression of love. What great sacrifice. Man, this gift represents. As we think about gifts this morning, we're going to talk about the greatest gift. And may I say that it does represent a great sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. And that is the gift of salvation. And this morning, I just want to share with you this morning about this wonderful gift of salvation. Just five powerful statements that relates to salvation, okay? And so if you want to maybe get your notes on the back of the bulletin, there's a little section there that says notes. And I'm just going to kind of give you five words to write down about this wonderful gift of salvation. First of all, salvation is universal. Salvation is universal. The Bible says here in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world." You want to know something? We are a part of that world. Salvation is for everyone. You know what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4? "Who have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Man, what a wonderful truth to realize that this wonderful gift of salvation that God offers to each and every one of us, it is a gift that is universal, it's for everyone. As we think about the universal of salvation, God's word declares that salvation is for everyone in several ways. First of all, through the ministry of our Savior. It is depicted that Christ, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse 35, that our Savior went everywhere preaching the gospel. And it's just an evidence that the gospel wasn't just for a certain group of people or economically. It's for everyone. It is universal. It's something that God wants every single person to come to the understanding regarding His wonderful gift of salvation. But not only is it through the ministry of our Savior, it is also by the practice of the early saints. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 4, therefore they were scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. And then the Bible talks about the mandate of Scripture. The Bible even commands you and me today to take this message, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. God's commanded us to take this message to this planet. And we ought to take it to every place, every person that we possibly can. The Bible says, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now think for a moment. Salvation is for you. Salvation is for me. And salvation is for the person next to you. Jesus came and He died. He shed His blood for every single person. So first of all, as we think about this wonderful gift, God's greatest gift, salvation is universal. It's for everyone. But not only that, but second of all, salvation is unique. Salvation is unique. Salvation's uniqueness is found in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This stone which was set as the nod of the builders, which became the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's only one name that brings salvation, and that is Jesus Christ. And what a joy to know that this salvation is found in Christ and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation is very unique. It's found in a single person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And as we think about the uniqueness of Christ, why was He so unique? Why was He different from you and from me? First of all, because Christ is God. What a wonderful truth. And this is the cornerstone of our faith, of our belief, that Jesus Christ was literally God. He became man, and He took upon a human form. He put upon Himself flesh, and He dwelt among us. And Christ lived, and He died, and He was resurrected from the grave to purchase that wonderful gift of salvation for you and for me. The Bible says in John chapter number 1, in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. In John chapter number 10 and verse 30, Jesus simply said this, I and my Father are one. Man, what a wonderful truth. The reason why salvation is so unique is because in its person, the person of Jesus Christ, He is literally God. But not only that, but Christ is also sinless. He is sinless. He is perfect. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, when they brought Jesus before Pilate, and they began to question him. They began to investigate and try to bring out some error in his life, to find out something that was contradictory and to what he was saying. And they weren't capable of doing that. And the Bible says in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter 27, and when Pilate saw that he could not prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Pilate said, I can't find any error in this man. I can't find any fault in this man. This man is innocent. This man is just. Man, salvation is unique because the Savior is literally God, and Christ has become God, and Christ is sinless. But listen, it even gets better than that. He's conquered the grave. Man, we serve this morning a risen Savior. Man, we celebrate that on Easter morning, but I tell you what, it's something that we ought to celebrate every single day of our life because we serve a risen Savior. The Bible says as those early believers went to the Christ's tomb to anoint his body and to take time for to prayer and in their life, but the Bible says as they approached there was an angel there and he had a message for his followers. And this is what he said. He is not here. Amen. He's not here, for he is risen as he said. Man, what a wonderful truth today as we think about salvation. We see that salvation, first of all, is universal. For God so loved the world. Man, I'm not sure who you are this morning, but I want to infuse you with this wonderful thought that God loves you this morning. You might be sitting here and say, well, I really haven't thought about God much in my life. It doesn't matter. He knows all about you. And boy, he loves you so much that he's expressed his love by sending his son into this world. We find the uniqueness of salvation, and that's found in Christ. But also, salvation is unearned. Now ponder that. Salvation is unearned. Salvation is not something that we deserve. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Every single person in this room, including myself, we've all missed that mark. The Bible says God's perfect, Christ is perfect, they're without sin. And the Bible says we have all fallen short. We've missed that mark. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, we can't work our way to heaven. We can't, strive to do good enough to get our way to heaven. The simple truth is, we don't deserve it. We keep falling short. It's like this man up on the screens that are trying to cross over to the other side. Now picture yourself standing there. In your own self-effort. Doesn't matter how fast you can run. Doesn't matter how far you can leap. You're still going to fall short. And the same thing about heaven. No matter how sincere you are, doesn't matter how bad you want to get there, you cannot get to heaven by self-effort. Salvation is unearned. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we strive for. It's not something that we earn. It is something that is given to us. Just as that trio sang this morning, they said this, it's by the way of the cross. It's not through self-effort. It's not through, changing over and changing over into turning over a new leaf and having new practices in our life. No, salvation is unearned. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. In other words, even our good deeds. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, our good deeds, those righteous acts that we have, compared to Christ and his glory and his holiness, they're as filthy rags. So there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves presentable to God. So when you think about salvation, boy, salvation is universal and salvation is unique and salvation is unearned. But may I say this, number four is this. Salvation is understandable. We can understand salvation. Now, as you ponder that statement, you think, man, you know, salvation is universal. God wants everybody to go to heaven. I can understand that, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, I could kind of put handles on that. And salvation is unique. And boy, I heard a lot about Christ, and I understand what he did on the cross, and I understand that he died and he shed his blood and resurrected from the grave. And then, you know, now it's unearned. It's like, I have no part in it. No, we don't. Because it's not by what we do, it's by what he has done for us. I'm going to share with you two doctrines about salvation that I pray that will kind of help us to fully understand why salvation is the greatest gift in all the world, okay? So let's look at this first word that the guys are going to throw up on the screen. It is called substitutionary atonement. Okay, substitutionary atonement. Now listen, that's a big word, but let's not let that word scare us, okay? And let's all say that word together. Ready? Begin. Substitutionary atonement. Okay, let's all, some of you weren't saying it, okay? Let's all say it together. Ready? Begin. Substitutionary atonement. How many remember when you were in school and you had a substitute teacher? How do you remember that? When that substitute teacher walked in that classroom, what were the first thoughts that came to your mind? I remember, okay? Mine was this. Okay, it's time to train this teacher. It's time to have a lot of fun today. You know, that substitute was, for whatever reason, that normal teacher wasn't able to come into that class and teach that class, so they had a substitute, someone that would take that teacher's place. You know, recently we had a men's basketball league here. And this past year, I turned the big half century, 50. And so we had a couple guys there teasing me and saying, hey, let's play basketball. And I said, man, I'm 50 years old. Are we playing half court? No, it's full court. And I said, oh, man, I don't know if I can do that anymore. Running back and forth. And so I kind of signed up. And boy, we got out there. And I began to look at all the young guns out there. I mean, honestly, they were half my age. I'm looking at these guys, I'm thinking, good night. Man, I don't want to play with these guys. And I'll tell you what, I got tired just in the warm-ups. You know how you kind of practice, you kind of do some of those layups, and you kind of shoot around a little bit, pass the ball. Man, after that, I was sweating. Man, I was sucking for air at that time. And all of a sudden, they blew the whistle and said, okay, let's go, we're going to play now. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And I went out and I bought a brand new pair of gym shoes because I thought, you know, got to look good out there at least, you know. So I got out there and put those shoes on and ran out there on that court. And I think I made two trips up and back from that down that court. And I'm running back and I'm saying, I need a substitute. Man, I need someone to come in and take my place. And you want to know something? That's what Jesus did. Jesus came. He left the glories of heaven, and he came to this earth. He took on human flesh. He came for one reason, and that reason was to be my substitute and to be your substitute. He went on that cross. It should have been me on that cross. It should have been you on that cross. But Jesus came, and he became our substitute. Oh, the Bible says this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. But now do we see here the substitutionary. Now let's look at that word atonement. The word atonement there. That word atonement, it's like this. Tomorrow morning on your way to work to L.A., you're going down the 14 freeway. And you're going a little bit too fast. You're running a little bit behind. And instead of going 65, you're going 85. I'm sure none of you would do that as I look at all you honest-looking people out there. And all of a sudden, one of our finest CHP officers happens to come up behind you and flick on those nice colored lights. They pull you over. And it's amazing when they pull you over, you said, officer, what did I do? How many are like that? Okay. I'm the only honest one right now. Okay?
and he gives you a ticket for speeding. And then you have to go to court. And you go to court and you got that speeding ticket and you have to pay a fine. You have to atone for your transgression. So you have to write a check. $400. To atone. Right? Was that the price you had to pay, Brother? You had to atone for that. And that check, that payment that you make, satisfies the demands of the judge for the transaction that you committed. May I say this? When Jesus Christ came, and when he died on the cross of Calvary, when he shed his blood, he made atonement. He made a reconciliation to reconcile you and me back to the Heavenly Father, because our sin has separated us from God the Father. But because of Christ's substitutionary atonement, we can be reconciled. Wow. That's why salvation is the greatest gift. But listen, it gets better. Not only is there substitutionary atonement, but second of all, there's imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. Now that's an accountant term of imputed, being something charged to your account. There's a lady, true story, I asked Brother Ira if he heard about this, and he read it also. Several months ago in the state of Illinois, there was an elderly lady, a lady that lived on a set income, and every month she would get her bank statement, and she opened it up, and normally there's just a few dollars there to make it through that next month. But this month was a little bit different. She opened up her bank statement, and she found that she was credited to her account $88 billion. God is good. $88 billion. Wow. Now, this lady was so kind and so honest, she called the bank. And she said there was a mistake made, and some reason there was $80 billion applied to my account. No, she said $88 billion. I would have just said, $87 billion. Man, if they're throwing out $88 billion, they could miss $1 billion. Amen. But think about this. Because of our sin has separated us from God. Because God cannot allow sin into his presence. Not only did Christ become our substitute, Christ also imputes or credits to us his righteousness. Oh. Now, let that sink in, because that's a little bit deep. In other words, Brother Ark, can you put your coat on me for a minute? Can you do that? This is going to be really interesting. I have no arms, no hands. You know what he did? He clothed us in his righteousness. And so when we accept this wonderful gift of salvation, we stand before a holy God as being righteous. Here it is. As Christ. Not by what we have done. Hey, listen. It's by what Christ has done for us. He imputes his righteousness onto our account. You know, the Bible says in Romans. In Romans chapter 4, verse 24. But as for us also, to whom he shall impute it, if we believe on him that raised up Christ our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised up for our justification. Wow.
Man, when we think about the wonderful gift of salvation, the Bible says, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, we might be rich. So as we think about salvation, salvation is universal. For God so loved the world. Salvation, it's unique because of the person of Christ. Salvation is unearned. It's not what we do. Hey, it's what he has done for us. When he died and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and 3 days later he arose triumphantly over sin and death and the grave. But then finally, salvation is also understanding, and finally, salvation is urgent. It's urgent. The Bible says about salvation in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. In Revelation chapter number 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him hear us say, come. And let him athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. When the Bible talks about salvation, it always talks about it in the present tense. It's something that we shouldn't put off. And the reason why is this. The reason why salvation is urgent. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed even another hour. And that's why if you're not sure about your eternity, if you're not sure that if you died, if you took your last breath right now, and if you're not sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven, I would encourage you to receive that wonderful gift of salvation that God offers to you. Now, what should our response be to this wonderful gift? If you're saved in here this morning, if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, basically, we should have two responses to it. Number one, we ought to rejoice. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, we ought to rejoice about the goodness of God that, boy, once I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ. Man, we ought to rejoice about the wonderful truth that we're saved. But not only that, but we ought to share it. We ought to take that wonderful message and we ought to share it with somebody this week. But now, if you don't know for sure that heaven's your home, if you have doubts in your mind and your heart, that if you died right now, if you would spend eternity in heaven, or if you don't know that, what should your response be? Receive him. Receive him.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.